music sounds best on WABC.
Oh, as Dan Ingram once said, nothing grows where my rosemary goes. That's another one of those great ones. Well, it's Music Radio WABC and all of the fans of Music Radio WABC, and that is an extremely large group, are tuned in right now. Out of all these great jingles we play, what jingle got played more than any other, got played more times in WABC than any other jingle?
Dan Ingram Electric Radio Theater is on the air.
You're in with
Big Dan.
WABC, it's Dan Ingram. Go, go, go!
Well, what a moment. It's finally here when we get to finally hear from the legend himself. How do you introduce Dan Ingram? I mean, what do you even say about him? I mean, but to say Dan Ingram was a DJ, that's like saying Da Vinci was a painter. I mean, yeah, well, let's just say hello to him. Here is the legend himself, ladies and gentlemen, a radio god. Dan Ingram, how are you?
Oh, I'm waiting for someone to put some money in the plate. That's great. If I got that position, that's a lot of money.
Well, you really do. For all of us, I guess you know, there are people like me who grew up like worshiping you, who like wanted to be you. We imitated you half our careers. We must all seem insane to you, I guess.
Well, no, I'm flattered. And a long time ago, someone asked me, how do you feel about people trying to do what you do? I said, well, there's only one me, but I'm flattered by the fact that there are other people who find something worthwhile in what I do, which is nothing really spectacular, but it's a very simple trick I've had for years, and it works.
Well, that's the problem. It's like when you ask Babe Ruth, he would say, well, I just swing the bat, you know?
Well, yeah, that's a cop-out, but that's a nice one.
But
my cop-out is very simple. I talk to my audience as if it were second person singular. And so when I say you, I never say good evening, everyone.
Yeah.
Because you're not talking to anybody, because I am not everyone. I'm me. I'm sitting there watching a TV or listening to the radio. And if the guy or gal on the air is saying, hi, how are you? That's much more personal than good evening, everyone, which is just that person's view of a large, somewhere in cyberspace audience, which doesn't connect with the audience. And when you do connect with the audience, they connect with you back. And that's what makes numbers and ratings and stuff like that.
That's a good point. But so back in 1969, when you were introducing Gary Puckett and the Union Gap, you didn't realize there were like 50,000 tape recorders going, and that these recordings, these air checks, would be floating around forever being analyzed by people.
Well, yeah, you know, I used to get letters from people who were very mad at me because I used to do a lot of talk-ups right after the vocal. Which meant they missed the opening of the record they were taping. And I had a pair of fan letters, I guess you could call them. One was very neatly spaced, onion skin paper, typed with good language and everything, thanking me for the fact that he had helped to teach his girlfriend English. She was from Norway.
Uh-huh.
And that the two of them got to like the show so much that they always turned it on and rearranged their working hours so they could listen, which I thought was a bit much, but it's a major flattery.
But maybe he taught his girlfriend how to do the snappiest one-liners in the world, and now he can't keep up with her.
Well, I know about that, but I do know that the other letter right next to it was, shut the bleep up, because I'm trying to record music. Signed, a fan.
But, again, there were guys like me who got annoyed when the vocal came in because it stopped you from talking.
Well, that's awfully nice of you to say. I appreciate it.
So, now the other thing is, of course, you were the funniest guy ever on the radio, and the amazing thing was the way you could play with the words, whatever the title was. You could make a joke out of any set of words.
Oh, yeah. The one that I remember most was very early on when I was introducing the first version of Ain't No Mountain High Enough, which was Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell, long before Diana Ross ever recorded it. And I said, ain't no mountain high enough. I don't want to be up on no mountain. It's cold and windy up there. I'd rather have a little peace in the valley. And, you know, the general manager thought it was very funny. So I got away with that kind of stuff.
Well, that's the other thing. You got away with stuff that, and it might not seem like much now, but at the time it was so risque, but the wordplay was so brilliantly subtle that you couldn't even, I mean, there was no line that you crossed because nobody could find the line anymore.
Well, I love our language. I love to use it, and I study it and look at all the different meanings things could have. Because I don't hear things the same way other people do. I don't read things the way other people do either. I was doing a Castro convertible commercial, and I said Castro convertibles are on sale at a fraction of their usual cost, 11 cents. And the phone rang in the studio, and I thought, this is it, I'm out of here. But because it was Bernadette Castro,
yeah,
who was laughing her butt off and said that one of the funniest things she'd ever heard. And the amazing outcome of that is what Castro always had a spot on my show, at least one a week, as long as I was on the air.
Well, we're talking the most famous voice in radio history, Dan Ingram. So as a kid in school, did you know that you had this kind of a real talent with words?
I wanted to do it. I didn't know how to do it yet, but I wanted to. I wanted to be able to talk with people rather than not at people, you know.
Now, you were also the best ever at just the tempo, the rhythm. I mean, you would talk not only over the records, over the jingles. And it was, you would make it into all music almost. And
well, yeah, I did. I loved it. I love jingle music because it's so darn simple. It's easy to do. And I'd sing along with it with different lyrics, which might have been just a play on the words and the tune. But I had fun doing that. It was a little challenge.
But nobody was better at throwing those jingles in and knowing where. And your parents were musicians, weren't they?
Both my parents were musicians. So, and if they had been Jewish, they would have sat shiva for me when they found out I might be a disc jockey. Because they figured, you know, records had put both of them pretty well out of business.
Yeah.
Until I told my dad, I said, you know, it took me about a year. I told him, I said, you know, really, isn't it the music business has died and the music business has moved to Nashville? Go to Nashville, you'll find work, you know.
Wow.
And he finally understood and everything was all right, you know.
Yeah.
But it took a little while to convince him I wasn't some ogre.
So, and let me say another thing about the legends of WABC, Harry, Ron Lundy, you, Bruce.
Wonderful people. When you work there, you work with the cream of the crop.
But you know what's interesting? All that whole group, none of you sounded anything alike. You were all totally different voices.
Yeah, that's the best part. Rick Spar was our guy who handled programming. But most of the guys were hired by Hal Neal, who was the original general manager and vice president of the station. Hal would hire people generally based on large ratings in some market. Sometimes he made mistakes, but they didn't last very long, and he would get someone new who was good and sounded interesting and different.
Well, we're talking with Dan Ingram. You know, I go back, I listen to these tapes of you in the 60s, and besides being brilliant, you just sounded like a very sophisticated sort of guy, but I realized you were a young kid then. You were like in your mid-20s.
Yeah, I was 26, I guess, when I started there.
But you had such a just a sound that was so amazing. And, I mean, was there anybody you copied in radio? I mean, we all copied you, but is there anybody, as a young guy, you tried to sound like?
For a while, I had a show on WICC in Bridgeport where I worked weekends.
Yeah.
And we did what was going into the chamber, which really meant turning on tape delay reverb, which sounded kind of nice on the air. It was a new and different thing. And I was playing jazz.
Yeah.
And one of the people I grew up with was Al Collins, otherwise known as Jazzbo.
Jazzbo.
Who was on WNEW. Yeah. And he was just perfect at talking to you one at a time.
Huh.
And he had that technique down, so I learned a lot from him. People respond. I know they do.
Yeah.
Because I have been lucky enough to turn stations around in a matter of a month or two or three. In New York, it took me 9 months to go to number one. Right. I was considering we were number 14 in the 13 station market when I got there.
Well, we're talking with Dan Ingram, and there's so many people out there just love you. And
I love the audience too. That's the other thing. I have great respect for people who tune in. And people who get some of the rather obscure things I sometimes say. I mean, some people will not understand, at least for a few minutes, what I meant when I said Nowhere Man, you know, the Beatles record.
Yeah.
The Nowhere Man is what the nihilist said to his cab driver. Now, that's a little over some people's heads, and yet it really isn't. And when people put it together, they laugh and have a good time.
Yeah,
but I respect my audience for their intelligence. I really do.
That's what I meant before about in the 60s. You listen to these tapes, and most of these top 40 DJs were pretty goofy young guys. You sounded so sophisticated back then.
Well, I tried to.
Yeah.
I mean, I think goofy is all right when you're 13 or 14, and that's good. And I did some goofy things, too.
Yeah.
But generally, it won't last long. And that was what the problem with most DJs on the air then were. They had some kind of gimmick, but gimmicks get kind of boring after a while.
Now, the other thing is you could be, besides the funniest guy on radio, you could be brutally honest sometimes about if a record wasn't so hot or a commercial sounded a little silly.
Had to be.
But did you ever get in trouble for any of that?
A couple times, yeah. In my very early days when I was working at WALK, one of the nicest guys in the world, their program director, Jack Ellsworth, who is now calling himself the Silver Fox because he stopped dyeing his hair, but he's still working.
Yeah, he's out in Long Island, right?
Yeah. And he knew radio. He knew it pretty well. He taught me an awful lot. And every once in a while, I'd say something, and he'd come in and say, no, no. And I put on a record once, and I said, gee, I hope you like that, but I don't. I mean, I just think it's beneath you. It's simplistic, and the harmony is, kind of pale. And Jack was in the studio as soon as I went into the next record and said, you know, out there, you got to realize there was somebody who really liked that record, and you insulted that person. He said, that's not good.
Yeah.
And he was absolutely right. I had to be totally honest, but he didn't have to stick it in somebody's face.
So, well, I'm glad that through the years you managed to sneak it in there subtly, though, from time to time.
Well, every once in a while, I had a thing that the only people who knew about it were the engineers. When I came on after a record that I hadn't played before, that was a new record or something, if I said, that's just great, they knew I thought it was absolute garbage. But only the people in the studio knew that. It was our little secret.
Well, now a lot of people are going to be running through old air checks now, trying to see which record you said that about.
I don't remember.
Well, Dan Ingram, it's great talking to you. And we've got to thank you on behalf of the audience because you really made WABC what it was.
Well, I want to thank the audience for tuning in and being aware enough because the years have gone by. You know, I'm now 71, which is not exactly a thrill, but it means, take a little better care of yourself
because
you never did before.
Well, you sound like you're doing pretty well now.
Oh, I'm okay. I'm not a wealthy man, but I'm comfortable.
What?
And that's good enough for me. If I want to go to Paris for a weekend, I can do it.
Yeah.
And maybe not every weekend, but I can do it if I want to.
Well, we need you here some weekends to listen to the program and keep an eye on us. But again, had it not been for you, I don't think we'd be here right now celebrating those incredible, glorious years.
Well, you're very kind, and I thank you. And if it wasn't for the people who tune in, I wouldn't have had anything. I mean, that's really my great fortune is that people like what I did. Thank God.
And on behalf of all the up-and-coming young disc jockeys like myself back then, I got to thank you for all the lines we stole from you.
Oh, that's okay.
Well, things we copied.
I had my 15th anniversary party. I put it on because ABC wouldn't pay for it. They were cheap. I mean, they really were. There are guys who used to work at ABC in management and said, Dan Ingram made me a wealthy man. Well, it didn't make me a wealthy man. This is the day before the big bucks contracts, which is when I had my peak.
Yeah, but it should be pointed out, you had more listeners then than guys like Howard Stern do nationally today.
Would you like to me to hear a little ego from me?
Absolutely.
There was a time when at the peak of WABC's whatever you call it, success, I guess is the word.
Yeah.
That they did a rating on me that covered practically all of North America. And they found out that I had the highest ratings of any disc jockey on one station, not on a syndicated base, but on one station I had the highest ratings, period. And I still hold that record.
Now, at one point, you had something like 8 million listeners
in the metropolitan New York area. But then, when the sun went down at 4:30 or 5 o'clock, whatever time, suddenly we added another 30 million listeners.
It's unbelievable. Like somebody like Howard Stern today would have 6 or 7 million and be considered the greatest thing in radio.
Well, yeah, and in New York, a 7-point rating is enough to make him number one. I had 26 and 28 shares.
26 share.
Yeah.
That's every station today added together, and you still wouldn't have a 26.
Just about. It was kind of fun.
Wow.
But it was mainly because people liked that. Whatever kind of tiny little bit of talent I got, they tuned in, and bingo, there I was.
Well, Dan Ingram, once again, thanks from all of us for a lifetime of great entertainment memories. Well,
thank you.
Hopefully you'll come back again sometime. We'll talk again.
Yeah, make it soon because, I'm getting older.
Oh, you'll outlive all of us.
Which is better than the alternative.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Dan Ingram.
WABC 77 WABC. It's Mark Simone. It's Saturday Night Oldies. Now, I am being told that apparently people were losing the audio on the internet. I didn't realize at the time during the interview, but we have super high bandwidth that we can handle a zillion hits at once on the internet. But apparently we were getting so many hits from all over the world that we actually reached full capacity there on the internet. And some people lost the audio for a second or two. And that's from so many people tuning in to hear Dan Ingram on the internet from all over the place. Anyway, do you have that theme? You know, I should have played this the whole thing. If you're a Dan Ingram lover and you listen to him every day for all those years, he had a closing theme song that he would talk over. And I don't think anybody else had a closing theme song on WABC. I mean, he was such an amazing figure, this closing theme song. I'm not going to talk over it. Just turn your radio up loud. And this will bring back memories. I don't care where or when I hear that, but whenever I hear that ending, I just automatically I hear Bob Hart's voice doing the news, and I know Cousin Brucey is coming up in 10 minutes. Or is it 15 minutes? They used to have a long newscast at 6 o'clock. Anyway, incredible memories at 77 WABC. Think about what's happened here tonight. On a Saturday night, on your car radio, on 77, you heard Cousin Brucey speaking. You heard Dan Ingram speaking. And every Saturday night, 6 until 10, you can now hear Oldies here on 77.
You're on a music weekend. You're on it with WABC. Mark Simone.
We're caught in a trap.